So, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to focus today on the second reading because St. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he does such a beautiful job of reminding the Ephesians who they are and where they come from. And this is something that, as a reminder for all of us, you know, it's easy for us to say sometimes when we talk to our kids and try to teach them something, you know how the kids will say, "Dad, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know." They do still do that, right? I know. And we can get like that too. "Father, you're going to say the same thing. You must not have prepared a homily, because I know, I know, I know." My dear brothers and sisters, if we knew, if we truly knew, which is not just an assent with our head, but if we truly knew and understood who we were in front of God, then, my dear brothers and sisters, our lives would be drastically different. And so I beg to differ that you know. At least that you know, at least that you know here. You know here, but I beg to differ that you know here. And why do I say that? I was struck by a line, I was struck by many lines, but as St. Paul's writing to the Ephesians, he says, "So that we might exist for the praise of his glory." What is the odometer for knowing whether we know? What is the odometer for knowing whether we know? You know, the we know, I know, I know. The odometer is exactly this line. To ask ourselves, do we exist for the praise of the glory of God? In other words, when people meet us, when people encounter us, do they encounter God? That's why I beg to differ about the I know, I know, I know, I know, because I think that a lot of times what happens is that if we're really honest with ourselves, do people find in us God? I don't know about that. Do people find in us people who are full of joy? I mean, just think about it in light of being Sunday. Tomorrow is Monday. If I ask you, for those who are still working, are you excited? Are you joyful about having to go to work tomorrow? Meh. We're already, oh, I gotta put up with my boss. Oh, oh, that coworker, the one that never shuts up. Then there's the one that's at my cubicle. For the engineers, I know that this is an issue. Ah, the ones that come to my cubicle and they never leave me alone. I can never get my own work done because there's always somebody on the project team that wants help with their stuff. And you say, "Well, I'm retired, Father." Eh, retired people are busier than working people. Tomorrow, when somebody upsets your apple cart because you had a certain plan, and something comes up and your daughter or your son calls and says, can you take Johnny for the day, when that wasn't on your plan, although always our grandchildren are always blessings, but sometimes they're not in the plans. Do we reflect, and those are, they're ridiculous, they're not so ridiculous, but they're ridiculous examples, you know? Because my dear brothers and sisters, do we reflect God? Do we reflect who we are? So then the question becomes, okay, Father, who are we? Well, St. Paul says it. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." So first, who are we? We are chosen by God. From the very beginning, from before the billions of stars were created, God thought of you. God had a plan for you. You are not here by accident. You are not here by some cosmic joke. You are here because God had a plan for you for this moment in history. Because God thought of you. Because to God, you matter. God chose us. Why did God choose us? I don't know. You know, we were listening to the prophet Amos. Amos doesn't know why God chose him either. He's doing what God told him to do, being a prophet, and he's not being received very well. And in fact, they're really going to town on him. And he stops and he says, "Hey, look, I'm only a prophet because God had sent me to be a prophet. I mean, I take care of sycamore trees. That's who I am. I'm a sycamore caretaker. I'm not a prophet. But God has sent me to be a prophet." Because Amos knows that he has been chosen, and so he follows the mission that God has given him because God chose him. Because he understands the next part of what St. Paul says, which is, in love he destined us for adoption. That is, that we are sons and daughters of God. That we were chosen and are children of God. And that word adoption, they understood that the word adoption for the people of the time of Paul understood it as irrevocable. That adoption is non-changeable. You know, we say a lot in the world, or I hear a lot, you know, God is not, we're taking God out of the world. And that's a very true statement. And we say, well, we should put God back into the world. And that's an also very true and good and pious statement. But you know what the problem is, my dear brothers and sisters? We say that, and we post things like that on our Facebook page that says, you know, put God back into the Pledge of Allegiance, and put God back into the schools, and put God back into society. And then you know what we say in the next sentence? Yeah, but that's for the other guys. That's for Washington, D.C. to do. My dear brothers and sisters, if you're waiting for Washington, D.C., to put God back into this country, you're going to be here a long time because it ain't happening. Father, don't say such things. But it's true. It's true. My dear brothers and sisters, it is not somebody else that is going to bring God back to this country, or back to your family, or back to this world. It's not going to magically happen because you post it on Facebook, because you wish with good wishes that God comes back into this country. Do you know how God comes back into this country? I tell you this. Right now, sitting in this church and standing in this church is enough people to bring God back into this country. It's right here. Stop leaving it for somebody else. It's you. It's me. It's not somebody else. There is no Calvary. You are looking at the Calvary. Do you understand that? There is nobody else. It's you. It's me. And the sooner that we stop playing around, the sooner that we stop saying, oh, I wish, oh God, please, I wish you would just come back to this world. Great, good wish. But do you bring God to this world? When people encounter you, do they encounter joy? Do they encounter hope? Do they encounter the love of God, the mercy of God? That's not that doesn't mean all everything goes, but do they encounter in you God? And my dear brothers and sisters, I would say that that right there is the problem. Is that what people encounter is people who say, I wish it was different, but doesn't want to do anything about it in their own lives. And so St. Paul gives us this reminder. St. Paul reminds us, you are the son and daughter of Christ, of God. You have been called. You have been given a mission. You don't need a theological degree. You don't need to be Father Mike Schmitz. You don't need to be Pope John Paul II, St. Paul II. You need to be you, living the truth of God. So that we might exist for the praise of his glory. Now, this is not easy. I don't stand up here and say that this is always easy. It's hard to make God present. It's hard, but we can do it. We can begin in the little ways. Maybe we can begin by saying, Lord, you know, if I struggle with situations at work, help me on a Sunday evening to be joyful about going back to work tomorrow. And all I meet, help them to encounter my joy. Lord, help me to be more peaceful. I'm going into a situation of great tension in a part of my life. Help me to bring peace to the tension. There are so many minor ways that we can make God resound from us, that we can bring God back to this world, back to this country. But my dear brothers and sisters, again, we have to stop waiting for somebody else to do it. Because there isn't somebody else. It's you. It's you. It's me. So, as we come to this Eucharist, we ask God that he may truly give us the courage to live out the call of who we are every day in our life.